The big variable right now is we need the temperature to rise a little up here just to get the ice off the trees and the wires.
We are thrilled to be able to take a shower again.
I feel you if you're one of those Michiganders dealing with the ice. A lot of that power back on. It's been a crazy week. The ice storms of 2013 continue. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. A couple of shows left in 2013, and we're going to talk about top stories and people who made news, the things that we talked about a lot on these airwaves. If you want to throw in your two cents, you're out there alive and kicking and just chomping at the bit to talk about the big stories, you can certainly do it. What would make your list as the biggest story of the year? 855-266-5283, 855-266-KATE. The biggest story to me, and one that is going to continue to kick into 2014, is the Ed Snowden case, the NSA domestic spying deal. And I would say second to that, right on the heels, is Obamacare. The rollout, as the rollout continues, people signing up, people getting fined, people getting furious, some people saying, back off, I like it. And there is a definite divide among those who think this is the right thing to do, even if it's not working out so great, it probably will in the long run, and those who say, are you kidding me? Have you looked at your premiums? You just wait. So the NSA, as this is going to continue to push into the next year, because Ed Snowden has said that he has still over a million pieces of information that could be released. A German magazine, one of the places where he dumps his information, is claiming that the NSA hacking unit has some pretty wild methods to get the information that they're pulling. So they're saying, because of the internal documents that they've been giving, given from Snowden, that the hacking unit is, it's kind of like a James Bond spy thing, the kind of gear that you would think, a way to intercept computer deliveries, to outfit them with espionage software. Der Spiegel is dumping all these new revelations in the last couple of days or so relating to a division in the NSA that's called the Tailored Access Operations, or TAO, which is part of what they say is an elite team of hackers, and they specialize in stealing information from the toughest of targets that you can imagine. Getting the ungettable. Gathering significant intelligence, stuff that we've never seen before. Targeting the unit, successfully targeting and gaining access to 258 targets in 89 countries, almost everywhere in the world. Just 3 years ago, 279 operations. And they have a catalog of these high-tech gadgets for the hard-to-crack stuff. Computer monitor cables, USB sticks secretly fitted with radio transmitters to broadcast stolen data over the airwaves, and fake base stations that are supposed to intercept mobile phones on the go. So they rely on all kinds of things. And then this malware, you know, this software to hit it. Specific computers, and to try to figure out the weaknesses in hardware or software, which makes sense because that's where they're digging some of it out. And it's been distributed, software distributed by some of the world's biggest technology companies, and the companies named include Cisco. Yep, Cisco. And because don't they own a big chunk of this? And they say there was a 2008 mail order catalog list of vulnerabilities that NSA spies could exploit from companies like Dell, like Cisco, that kind of stuff, and that's what they were doing. They could figure out who they could, what they could compromise. And so they used people in the FBI and the CIA to intercept the hardware when it was en route and take it to a workshop where they could fit it with espionage software. I mean, this sounds like something from The Americans, that television show during the Cold War, you know, it came out last year. That was a big hit in 2013, or came out this year, and it's continuing in 2014. It sounds very 80s in some ways. We just get the stuff, we steal it, and then we put the bugs and the things we need in it, and then it goes on to it's intercepted along its route. So how about that? That's crazy. I mean, it's the blueprints for everything that Ed Snowden, he hit the mother load is what Ed Snowden did. I mean, more and more revelations, disclosures that, of course, have started a massive, this is why this is the biggest story. There's a massive debate, I mean, over a couple of things. Is he a traitor? Is he a whistleblower? Is he a hero? Is he a goat? And then the debate over privacy and surveillance. What should you reasonably expect as an American citizen that should be private and shouldn't have, there shouldn't be access to certain information? And, you know, everybody jokes and they say, oh, that's Big Brother. And there's, until it's you and until something happens, something, there's some kind of misunderstanding, then that's when everybody ducks and runs for cover. So this cache of new documents, they won't say where it's come from, but obviously most of the stories, most of the documents have all been leaked by Ed Snowden. And that's where you would clearly think they're getting them, because who else are they getting them from at the NSA? So he continues to pull the strings, and for one contractor to be able to do that and to change policy at the NSA, you're pretty hard-pressed to come up with another story that is that big. Our government trying to figure out national security and personal privacy and dealing with world leaders who are furious. And then Ed Snowden himself, who says that he feels vindicated and the mission has been accomplished because of the rulings of a higher court. And he's inflamed so many people. The quotes in the Washington Post where he says the mission's already accomplished, already won. And I'll tell you what, this is why I say there is just no way he steps foot on American soil again and is not immediately taken down, arrested. Absolutely. There's no way. The whole whistleblower hero thing, and for what he's revealed to the NSA, forget about it. There's no way he would get amnesty. I mean, absolutely no way. He's in Russia, and he's saying now that he was trying to make the NSA better, but now he's already won. He's achieved what he set out to do with the release of the classified information. And then you have guys like Michigan Congressman Mike Rogers, chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, who says Snowden releasing classified documents has jeopardized the safety of the troops in Afghanistan and gave nations like China and Russia valuable insight into how our intelligence services operate. Do you think? Meet you on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Do you know how much the dollar has lost in its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Put another way, who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold is the only monetary asset as no one else's liability. Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metals accounts, please call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
Yesterday, I got a notice from the IRS. They say I owe them over $16,000. I don't have that kind of money, but the notice said if I don't pay it in 30 days, they're going to go into my bank account and take my money, put a lien on my house, and garnish my wages. Can they really do that?
If you owe back taxes, unless you get help, the IRS can do all that and more. Don't try to fight the IRS on your own. Use Coast One Financial Group and let them help you get a fresh start. Their Fresh Start program that will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS or state have in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. You get a fresh start if you owe at least $10,000 in back taxes. They're so sure they can help you that they'll give you a 20% discount just for calling right now. Dial 877-328-6404. That's 877-328-6404. Again, 877-328-6404.
Mixing in some conversation about some of the top stories of 2013. We only have a couple of shows left in 2013, and man, it's a brand new year. How did we get here? It's crazy, isn't it? And I said the biggest story was Ed Snowden and the NSA. You could talk about Obamacare. You could talk about a whole bunch of other things that certainly make my list that we'll go through here in a second. But a couple of quick programming notes. One, don't forget, you asked it, you got it. Nail the score in the postseason. We will do it in our next show. So our Monday into Tuesday show, really our Tuesday morning show, Nail the Score. Last two segments, third hour, last two segments. Maybe somebody will nail the score. In the postseason, nobody did it in the regular season, although a couple of people came very, very close to the point of nailing it, but didn't quite do it. So that may happen in the post-season. So keep that in mind, that you could be lucky. Also, coming up this hour at the tail end of the hour, what happened in the NFL in the final season? Well, we have Matt Johnson's amazing sound machine that gives you some of the highlights of Week 17 in the NFL, and it was a crazy Week 17. Between politics, sports, and business, it's been a wild year here for this show. So the NSA and now the latest stuff about cataloging, that they're actually having the FBI or CIA getting a little help from them and tinkering with computers is crazy. It's the gift that keeps on giving, though, because whatever's going on at the NSA, the lid is being blown wide off of it. So no matter what you think about Snowden, now it's embarrassing, it's humiliating. They have to come up with other ways to do what they're doing, or at least they have to answer the call of why are you doing this and how much privacy do we have a right to, and the constant back and forth over Big Brother and how much privacy are you willing to give up for what is being called more security? Because who decides that? So it's a huge story. Number one in my book. Obamacare would be number two. The rollout, the botched rollout in October was unbelievable to me. Yes, you can never have 100%. We know that. But how do you have 3.5 years to get ready for what is the signature piece of this president's legislation that he talked about from day one when he was running and then became president the first time around? How do you not make that smoother? How do you not have people that have no clue what's going on when they go to the website and you don't have it laid out correctly, but you pay millions and millions of dollars for it? That's just stupidity. It's poor politics. It's poor management. It's the wrong person that's heading the show in the cabinet, too. But yet nobody gets fired for that. I would say the other thing that would have to be high on the top five list, and I've already mentioned this before, is the IRS accused of targeting all kinds of conservative groups. Supposedly it wasn't just conservative groups, but the bulk of it was. And that was another thing that was just stupid. Who gave the order for that? And why would you push that off to the side and think there wouldn't be any questions and it wouldn't be easy to pry that back and make a big deal about it and make the government look silly and make the Democrats look like idiots? Because, well, are they involved in this? Does this have something to do with the whole race and what's that about and all of that? And of course, we always have the debt ceiling, the government shutdown, and the sequester battles. This is a yearly thing. Now, we've got a 2-year budget, so we won't be talking about that, believe me, very much in 2014. That would be a huge story. And then on a terrible note, I say the Boston Marathon bombing was just awful. To take what is an amazing event where people really reach out to everybody who's running in that race, where they're cheering them through all the different areas, to have people who wait for a long time to get into the Boston Marathon, who aren't from the area, who go there, and then to have that ruined and to wreck all those lives, and then to have the city in this crazy lockdown mode, just insanity. And what ensued after that, things that could have happened, things that fell through the cracks, it's that same old story, and it's very strange, strange and awful what happened. And a 7-year-old boy watching his father race should not be killed. I mean, that just should not happen in America, but it showed the vulnerabilities, homegrown or not or whatever. The aftermath was crazy, too. On a Friday night, following the story, Twitter, people Twittering, showing pictures in dorms and out windows of a gun battle. Which is another part of the story, that how social media was breaking some stories, how people were taking pictures of things that were happening. And one of them were a lot of things surrounding the Boston Marathon. Another thing that would make the list, if I just went down a list straight through for the rest of them, Iran's nuclear threat, the whole idea of a new president, Rouhani, and would that make a difference, and lifting the sanctions, and what does this mean into the future, the Syrian civil war, talking about mustard gas, talking about compromise, arming rebels, conversations about should we go in, all of that. All of it. In fact, the Middle East, you could just break it down. The Afghanistan security withdrawal, now more problems erupting in Iraq after everything that we've put into Iraq. And in general, what has happened in the Middle East? Because you look at Egypt, you look at the vulnerability there and the violence, the complete instability. We back Mohammed Morsi and then we see what happens. He's just crippled, and that's the whole Muslim Brotherhood deal, is that was his posse. You could talk about, which was big, and we talked about this on our last show, Pope Francis replacing that. no pope resign. If it's like 600 years, and then you have a pope that resigns the position. It was crazy and threw a lot of people for kind of a loop. The Supreme Court gay marriage ruling was very, very big. There were conversations about this for years leading up to it. Then it happens. And there are people gathered all over the place waiting on both sides of this as to where this was going to go down. How about the Benghazi attack investigation? That would have to arguably probably be somewhere in a top 15 list for sure. They're still calling things into question with Benghazi. Still, that's happening. How about cities going bankrupt? Detroit especially, as a very, very large city, Detroit's bankruptcy. And trying to get people to come back into the city, rip up the boarded windows, and rebuild the economics of Detroit. And when they take one step forward, they take two steps back. It's been a rough situation there. The George Zimmerman trial was talked about. And all of a sudden, boom, there's the George Zimmerman trial. And then Zimmerman is acquitted. Zimmerman is acquitted of the murder of Trayvon Martin. But then gets into trouble with a wife, with a soon-to-be ex-wife, with a girlfriend, with some crazy things surrounding him, comments about guns and a few other things as well. But leading up to that trial, the insanity of it, the media circus that it was, and ultimately, in the end, the George Zimmerman trial, either elated or disappointed people across the United States. Once again, the line that separates the us's and the them's, or the them's and the us's, that was heavy in the George Zimmerman trial. Heavy, heavy, heavy. And of course, talking about Newtown, Connecticut, and the kids that were killed, and thinking about that the entire year, just going through the one-year anniversary. Somebody who counseled and tried to bring the people together, Richard Hardwood, was a big interview just recently in 2013, and we're going to take you back to that next.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited-time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open-pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
Unfortunately, the one-year anniversary of the mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, and of course we know the whole story there, 26 people killed in all, 20 first graders, 6 teachers, educators, if you will. And what a year it's been, and we've talked to many people surrounding what happened in Newtown and how rough it was really in the beginning and even now at this point, and especially you think it happened right before the holidays, and here we go again. We're almost into holidays one more time. In the wings, pleased to welcome to America Tonight, Richard Hardwood. He's the founder and president of the Hardwood Institute for Public Innovation, and he's an expert in helping communities like Newtown to deal with incredibly difficult changes. And Richard actually helped a 28-person task force there really try to grapple, and I guess that's an interesting word to use because that's what it's like with this kind of issue. So for several weeks this past spring, Richard was there, listened as parents of Sandy Hook, first graders, business people, et cetera, stepped forward to talk about concerns and the school site, remember the tearing down the school site and all that kind of stuff. Richard, thanks for coming on the show.
You bet. It's good to be with you.
So when you first got the call and this all happened, I mean, obviously this, you are the expert, as I said, in doing this. What's the first thing that you think of? I mean, it was just so shocking when we all saw that. What do you do, in other words, when you're heading down into this situation, knowing that there are people just hanging on by a thread, in a sense, emotionally? What are the kinds of things that you're telling them, or you know you're going to tell them, as you're heading down to Connecticut?
Well, you know, the first thing is, you know, for someone in my role, which was to help design and lead the, as you mentioned, the 28-person task force, is to give people a sense of security that, and a sense of safety that we can actually work through an issue that as you know, and your listeners know, is gut-wrenching. It's a horrific situation. It's really inexplicable. And it's really to give people a sense that, you know, as hard as this is going to be, I'm going to create a process by which we can try to move through this and try to make a decision and deal with the emotional content that's really here. And that, first and foremost, was my primary responsibility as I headed to Connecticut, thinking about how we might do this.
So you're there, and you're there for a while, and is it a process where you try to, as you're piecing things together, are people sharing? Is it good in these kind of, unbelievably traumatic situations to share, to, for lack of a better way to describe it, get it out?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, there was a lot of trepidation, as you can imagine, when we began this conversation. And you know, look, there was a debate in the community about whether or not we should have even been having this conversation at this time. There were any number of people in the community who felt we should wait a year or so before actually trying to figure out what to do. So initially there was trepidation as we got into the process and we started talking about this. And we, you know, for some people, I think this looked like it was going to be a discussion about a school building. But, you know, as we got into it even more, I think people started to realize that this was much more than about a school building. It was really about whether or not the community was ready, willing, and able to pivot, in a sense, from a sense of trauma and despair to healing and hope. And so as the conversation evolved during this process, there was a point at which it looked like it might break down, which I can tell you about. And at that point, it became much more emotional, much more gut-wrenching, much more of a sense of, are we really ready to engage with this issue, and are we really ready to have the conversation that we really need to have here? And at that point in the process, it became very difficult.
Yeah, so when you got deeper into it, because then you're actually, it's got to be a weird feeling, because in one way, probably some people feel like it would be a monument or a memorial, perhaps, to
right.
What happened there, and others think, ugh, that's a reminder that we should really move forward and we should tear it down and rebuild. Is that kind of what it comes down to?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think what it really came down to, Kate, is that we had announced, at the fourth meeting, we were going to make a decision. The Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, all sorts of news outlets had reported on it. And so there were hundreds of people at the meeting. But right before the meeting, we had met in our only closed-door session that we had at all with a group of teachers who really had been traumatized by this event and who recounted all of their experiences to the task force members. And when we came out of that back into the public session, it was clear that the task force was in no condition to make a decision that night, and I announced that we wouldn't. And I think at that point, when we came back into the fifth meeting, I think what people really had to come to grips with was there is no perfect solution to an imperfect, horrific situation, that the only perfect solution would be to turn back the clock to December 13th of the previous year, and that they had to come to grips with not simply about the school building, but as a community, that they would try to move forward as best that they could. And that was actually a phrase that people kept saying in that fifth meeting, that we've come to the recognition of the realization that this is our reality, and that at this point we need to try to simply make the best decision that we can and try to move forward.
Yeah, and then in once that's decided, and then you have to climb over that wall, and once all of that happened, and as you said, it popped all over the news, and everybody was debating, was this the right thing to do, and, you know, maybe you should keep it, or then maybe you should tear it down. But once that happened, and you got through that fifth meeting and whatnot, then did it seem like with the task force that you had assembled that, boom, okay, we're all on board, so whatever the outside world says, we're doing this?
You know, it's interesting. When we started this process, it appeared as though the community was split about what to do, whether or not to keep the school, tear it down and rebuild, or go to another site. And we looked at 40 other sites, Kate, to think about what to do. When we came through the fifth meeting, It was interesting because it appeared as though there still might be the split, but ultimately it was a unanimous decision to raise the existing building and to rebuild on that site. And again, as I was saying, I think at that point, everyone had come to this realization that we are where we are. This is probably the best solution that we have. Even the people who didn't agree with that solution, I remember them saying at the time, we don't agree with it, but for the good of the community, we need to stick together. And so we will join, you know, it was about a third of the task force. We will join the other two-thirds of the task force so that we can make this unanimous decision so that we have a united front moving forward as a community. And it was one of the most moving experiences I've had in 30 years of doing this work. And the greatest signs of compassion that I've seen demonstrated in terms of people really listening to each other and trying to figure out what's the best thing for the community as opposed to what's my position on this issue.
Wow. Once that happens, you feel that, then everything moves forward. The demolition started, just a couple of months ago. Do you know much about the reaction now at this point? Because, hey, you make the decision, and then you go forward, and then you have to deal with the decision. Has it been pretty good?
You know, I think it's been pretty good, but as you know, that was the first public decision that people needed to make, and for me it was the first, and what people said to me in Newtown, it was the first step forward of the community really being clear that they want to be on a journey of healing. But right after that, you know, there was a debate that broke out about the distribution of funds to people who were affected by this. Then, you know, as you know, just a couple of weeks ago, the state's attorney report came out that really detailed exactly what happened blow by blow in the school that day. Then just last week, the 911 tapes came out from the dispatcher calls. And at each turn, you know, this community has had to withstand these tremendous body blows. And again, what I've taken away from this experience in knowing people there and talking to them and staying in touch and continuing to work with them is the kind of resilience that this community has exhibited, the kind of compassion, the sticking together, and really the, if I can say this, the affirmation of the human spirit that they've really demonstrated to the rest, to themselves first and foremost, and then to the rest of us in the rest of the country.
Yeah, what a great sentiment to say, the affirmation. Finally, you know, here we are, so we're close to the holidays, so that's going to open those wounds. And what do you do to try to help people close up those wounds? I guess I don't know that you can ever do that, but here we are because with the Christmas trees and the things and the toys and all that, especially with children, that has to open that up.
Yeah, you know, I think what the folks in Newtown, you know, sent us really clear signals about this, which is, you know, their wounds are still there. There is no schedule or timetable for a healing process. And I think what they've said to the rest of the country is, please give us some space. If you want to mark this anniversary, what we recommend is for you to demonstrate a small act of kindness to someone you know or maybe someone you don't know, and that's the best way to mark this one-year occasion. And let us, in the meantime, those of us who live in Newtown, let us continue on our journey to heal.
Yeah. All right, Richard Hardwood, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight, and certainly we'll keep all those people, carry them around in our hearts. Just don't go down to Newtown. Give them some space, as Richard said. Richard, thanks.
Thank you.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Who says things can't go down before they go up? The freeze-dry guy, that's who. The freeze-dry guy has just learned of a 2014 manufacturer's price increase on Mountain House freeze-dried foods. So what is he doing about Mountain House food prices going up? The freeze-dry guy is bringing down prices, 20% down for the rest of 2013. Delicious freeze-dried foods like beef stroganoff, green beans, and lasagna with meat sauce are 20% off through December 31st. Freeze-dried peas, diced chicken, and more are 20% off now through December 31st. Go to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com, or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Hurry before Mountain House's 2014 prices. Load up now on tasty freeze-dried foods with a guaranteed shelf life of 25 years or more. Who says ending your year on a down note isn't a good thing? Get Mountain House food down 20% only at freezedryguy.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Seahawks, all kinds of time. Clemens steps up. Oh, intercepted. Smith. He's at the 20, the 15, 10, 5. He's going to score. Touchdown, Seahawks.
Oh, intercepted. Drake Kirkpatrick at the 10. Oh, touchdown. A pick six for Showtime. And the Bengals lead 33-17.
Hand off to Blunt. Thomas at the one and steps into the end zone. Touchdown, Denver. It's Peyton Manning's fourth touchdown pass in the first half. He's got 55 on the season.
Matt there, ball down. Pick up by Dawson. Kick is good. Green Bay, here we come. The 49ers break off the field, having won their 12th game of the season.
Good snap, ball on its way. Nick the kick, has it up, and good! With 5.5 to go in overtime. And the fans know the score here. The Chargers take the lead, but they do not advance to the playoffs quite yet. They make a defensive stop, they do. It's 27-24 with 5:30 left in OT.
Newton has a snap. Three-step drop. Gets bounced. Looking. Still looking. Fastball end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Right at the mouth of the end zone, Greg Olsen scores.
Rodgers gets the snap. Blitz is on. Rodgers scrambles left. Winds up. Right
Bob. He's got time to the 10 to the 5. To the end zone. Touchdown. And a dagger. Oh, my goodness. An NFC North Division Championship dagger of 47 yards.
Morton has done the job. He's back again. He looks right. He fires.
And it's intercepted. It's intercepted. By Brandon Boykin, his sixth of the
at the tail end of that. What a game that was on Sunday night to end it all. The Eagles win the NFC East. Rookie coach Chip Kelly in the money. A lot of people doubting Chip Kelly in the beginning of the year, and then look what happens with Philadelphia. Now they're hosting a game next Saturday against New Orleans with that 24-22 win over Dallas for the NFC East. The NFC North came down to the wire, too. You could hear that in there. Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers back after 7 weeks. Green Bay taking Chicago 33-28. And San Diego and KC, that was the wildest game. So the final AFC spot goes to the Chargers. And a crazy, crazy finish there. San Diego wins 27-24, but there was some controversy in that game. In fact, in the Philly Cowboy game, there's a little bit of controversy too as well. And the Chargers needed OT to do it, and they're lucky that they scraped in, but they did. So it's been a crazy NFL, I think, season, and it ended in a wild way. Nick Novak kicked a 36-yard field goal with five and change to go in that overtime that I'm talking about, but there was some controversy because of how many men were on the field at one point. San Diego, this was an OT that gave San Diego its only lead of the day. The Chargers trailed by 10 points in the fourth quarter, then held the Chiefs on downs, basically, to win after they got into San Diego territory. And what happened in the end could have changed the fate of the Pittsburgh Steelers, because if it had gone the other way, the Steelers would have been in the game. In the game next week, they would have been in the playoffs, but they weren't. So Phillip Rivers and the Chargers win their fourth straight, and they win for the fifth time in six games. They play a wild card game next Sunday at AFC North champs Cincinnati, the last team that beat them at San Diego in the beginning of December. So there's a lot of scenarios that we could unfold here, but it was a crazy finish for the last week, regular season week in the NFL. Matt, obviously, you, like me, you're a huge fan of the NFL. You play fantasy football like me. You were watching this all season long. It was a crazy finish to the year, wasn't it?
It was definitely entertaining, that's for sure. I saw somebody tweet that the Red Zone channel, the last couple of minutes, was making everyone crazy, because at about, I don't know, from about, I think it was about 6 to 6:15, you had three or four games finishing at the same time, all with playoff implications, and they were just switching to the games like nonstop. It was very exciting, but also very hectic.
Yeah. Very, very hectic. And the final game, Philadelphia really practically gave it away to the Dallas Cowboys. Kyle Orton is in for Tony Romo. And the Cowboys once again lose when they have a chance to win and get in. So from the other side of it, I think there are frustrated fans there, and they're not the only ones who are frustrated. Did you watch that game? It was a crazy finish to that, too.
Yeah, it was. And, I mean, everyone blames the endings on Tony Romo. Well, this time it was Kyle Orton. But at the same time, that team, the Cowboys, their defense is so terrible.
Oh, yeah.
It's so bad. And you have to imagine that they're regretting letting Rob Ryan go.
Oh, because he's in the playoffs.
Monty Kiffin. Because Monty Kiffin was really good for a while in Tampa Bay. Had the Tampa 2. Him and Tony Dungy, like, created it. But if you look around the league, all the teams that play the Tampa 2-style defense, they're not in the playoffs anymore. Most teams have abandoned it completely.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody about that last week. Terrell Davis, who was part of that Broncos squad who won the Super Bowl, if you remember him, TD, and that's exactly what he said. The Tampa 2 is dead, and that's part of the problem, and that's the problem with Kiffin. And Kiffin, I can't imagine, stays, but maybe he does. It's the strangest thing with the way Jerry Jones does business as the manager, general manager, owner of that team, because really he's pulling the strings. So crazy finish there. And the Eagles now, as I mentioned before, host New Orleans in that wild card game. The Cowboys have now dropped a finale to each division rival in the past three seasons, and they've missed the playoffs for four straight years. Dallas is, this is a crazy statistic. You know, sports, like politics, is about scorecards. There's a lot of things that are similar between sports and politics. And Dallas is 136 of the 97th season. That's crazy. 500. And it's like the same, it's like Groundhog Day. It keeps happening again and again and again and again and again. And they don't get in when they are supposed to get in. The Cowboys were down 10-0 in the second quarter and never led, but they found a way to get in there and make it interesting. You could tell they missed Sean Lee. He was out with a sprained neck. But Dallas is only the third time in NFL history to finish with three straight 8-8 records. Three straight 8-8 records. And Kyle Orton, you can't blame that on Tony Romo. Kyle Orton was the quarterback. He was 30 of 46, 358 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. First start in 2 years. And he was the $5 million quarterback. That's what he's the backup. That's what he was brought in to do, and he couldn't close the deal. On the other hand, throwing this in, and you heard some of the highlights there, I know that we have a lot of Chicago fans listening to us, and Chicago had plenty of chances, and it was looking good for them in this game against the Packers, but they couldn't pull it off either. Aaron Rodgers, the lead, changed hands five different times in this game, so it's a little different than that Philly game where the Cowboys were trying to play catch-up, but the Packers, with Rodgers there for the first time in 7 weeks, now are in the playoffs. They host San Francisco next weekend in a wild card round. The Bears had one final drive, but Jay Cutler's deep, deep pass, I mean, he's really just trying to plug anything in, was intercepted by Sam Shields on the final play. Didn't have much happening there. So, crazy wild finish to the last week of the regular season in the NFL. Don't forget, we are not done with Nail the Score. Many of you convinced me to do it throughout the playoffs, so we'll try to honor that. We'll try to do that, and we'll do that coming up in our next show, since we have the holidays bouncing, the new year bouncing in between everything. So remember, it's in our third hour, the third hour, last two segments of the next show. Thanks for hanging with us here on America Tonight, and Happy New Year.
E-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American made? Vapria e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapria e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapria e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriot at LaCig.com or call 870-525-1440, 870-525-1440. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.